weekday mornings on Moore in the Morning.
On round one today, Christy Blatchford is here from the National Post. Bill Hayes is filling in this week for Jerry Agar. Yvonne Baker, federal Liberal candidate, would-be candidate, I should say, because you're still seeking the nomination. Amanda Galbraith with Navigator Communications, formerly with the mayor's office. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
To you.
There is a ton of stuff today, as I'm sure you have seen in the briefing notes, so everyone speak quickly. let's start. Actually, Christy, maybe I'll start with you with there are complaints in Quebec about a show called Bye Bye, and I don't know if you're as familiar with this as I am because you came here a long time before me, but it's an annual ritual to put on a mostly crass and stupid New Year's Eve comedy show and then spend a week talking about it like it was the State of the Union address. But in this, Justin Trudeau is having a bad day in his office, so he takes a toke on a spliff, and yes, I'm showing my age, and then he slips into an Indian Bollywood movie. And for those who aren't familiar with French-Canadian comedy, that singing voice is hilarious. But Christy, there are complaints from Indian Quebecers, I guess we should say, that this was mocking India, mocking Hinduism, because they show a cow being knocked over. I kind of think that Justin started that game of mocking everything Indian, so maybe the blame lies with him.
Couldn't agree more. That's why it's funny. And it may not be quite as hilarious as people in Quebec think, but it's funny. And if anyone made a mockery of Indian culture, it was the Prime Minister by so wholeheartedly immersing himself in it.
Yeah, Amanda, I still cringe when I look at those pictures of all the Trudeaus with their hands pressed together in contemplation.
It was glorious.
It was so Von Trapp family singers.
It was a lot very extra. And I actually remember talking about it at the time and saying, I feel like this is sort of a sea change with how people see, like, the bloom is off the rose with the Prime Minister and his ability to sort of do stuff like that and get away with it. I watched the video. I read the article. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't see anything to be outraged about. I thought it was kind of funny. I'm sure it's a little insensitive, but that's actually what satire is supposed to be. I think we should turn off the outrage machine, yeah, take a breath, and, you know, realize that, you know, this type of behavior is part of a free society, and it should keep happening. I think it's important.
Bill, there's also a spectrum of outrage, and I suspect these days a lot of what happens is, like, you see a sketch like that, and you think, I wonder how that could be offensive. Oh, maybe it might offend Indians. Let's call some spokesman in the Indian community, and, of course, they want to get on the radio and the television, so they say, I am outraged.
Oh, that's exactly what happens in these instances. We've forgotten how to laugh about a lot of this stuff. I don't know if any of you know a guy named Frankie Boyle. He's a Glaswegian comedian who is outrageous and pretty much steps in everything, and it's just funny. People just laugh. That's what we have to do with this. And to the original thing, of course it was Justin Trudeau. That's a parody. That whole video of him is a parody itself.
You know what? I want to touch on another Trudeau aspect, but you're running for the party, obviously, or you will be running for the party, Yvonne Baker. I think Justin Trudeau is open to a lot of criticism, but I find Brian Lilly's column today a little thin in trying to say that Justin ordered up a helicopter.
Yeah, sure. I mean, as you said, when you introduced the story, this is a reference to, you know, internal documents that refer to someone suggesting that maybe they should look into putting in a helipad at his cottage. And there's a lot of reasons why potentially that could be the right thing to do for security reasons or other reasons, I don't know. But this was just being explored and it was never done. So I think crucifying politicians for things that they've done wrong, that's one thing. But crucifying for things that someone else considered that they might do, that's another thing.
Except the real story here, I think, is in what the ATI, the Access to Information Request, resulted in, which is, you know, a wholesale redaction of entire page after entire page. And one would think that if this was as benign as, you know, you would suggest, they would have much less to hide. I mean, you can hide the security part without hiding all of the discussion. Did the request emanate from the Prime Minister's office? Did it not? That's why the story is thin on facts. I agree it may have been pumped a bit, for sure, but I think it's more egregious that you don't get anything from these ATI requests routinely.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you ask for the most benign document and it comes with and two in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff like this drives me a little nuts. I think this is why we have 21st Sussex in absolute disrepair, right? The minute we try and do any kind of improvements or changes to stuff the Prime Minister has access to, everybody, you know, clutches their pearls and lights their hair on fire that the world is ending and whatever. I actually think I'm totally, if a helicopter pad is needed or feels like it's a good security thing, I don't see the issue. If there's a terrorist attack, we want to get the Prime Minister out of Harrington Lake. I'd rather him be on a helicopter, frankly, or wherever they think he needs to be. So I'm totally comfortable with stuff like this, which I know it doesn't sound like I'm a conservative, but I actually think we should be funding our government, our state leaders, our leaders, appropriately, and it should not be determined by politicians.
I just want to add one little thing to this, and that is we're saying that this is Prime Minister Trudeau's cottage. It's not. It's
That's
the
true.
Prime Minister's cottage.
Yep.
Let's make that clear, too.
A court has ruled that the public has a right to oversee Mount Pleasant and other cemeteries that belong to the Mount Pleasant Cemetery Group. I've actually been following this case because I found it very, very compelling. And the guts of it are this, because the judge made the ruling yesterday. For a long time, residents have been pointing out that the cemeteries were created by passing a hat in like 1829. So these cemeteries actually belong to the people. But since the 1980s, a certain cabal-like sensibility has taken over at the cemetery group, and they don't publicly report, and they are making a lot of money that perhaps, like the LCBO and Ontario Lottery and Gaming, should be in the public purse. You know, I don't know if anybody else finds this case as compelling as I do, because the judge said, yes, indeed, these cemeteries belong to the people of Toronto.
I don't see it as an issue, quite frankly. As to the original situation back in the 1830s or whatever, passing that seems kind of quaint to me. And it does seem as if, hey, we're using some land for something that we all need. So the idea that we're using that going forward, that makes perfect sense to me. It takes it back to the people.
Makes perfect sense to me, too. I think if you think about the people who passed the hat a long time ago, over 100 years ago, what would they have thought if they had known that a small group of people had taken this over and were using it to make profits and money?
And the thing is, they're not pocketing the money personally, but they've created this massive trust, and that money is profit.
It is profit. And let's be frank, that profit, that trust profit is being used to fund certain things, and people are employed on that. So there are people benefiting from that. So I think that this is a good thing.
Yeah, and the other point is this is a massive amount of land in very prized areas of the city, which frankly may or may not be a cemetery in, you know, the next 50, 100, whatever years, right? I mean, this is not the same, but I was in Venice in October, and they've moved all the summer to some crazy island, which is a whole other thing. But the idea that you devote that kind of space to a cemetery in the middle of like a very booming city is probably not going to be the case in 100 years. So
Which would be a shame.
True, but it's probably likely, right? So like how we deal with that land, I think, is really important. And this is a good thing that Councillor Wong Tam, actually, I believe, started when she was a private citizen.
Well, and I, as you know, a guy who lives on a cemetery, Christy, I adore cemeteries. But I think, not in our lifetime, but I do think eventually we're going to get to the point where people are going to shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, take the stones, put them in a wall, and let's build.
Let's build some condos, just for a change.
Let me ask you about Kevin Hart, the guy who was going to host the Oscars, then they unearthed old comedy that was controversial and tweets that were controversial. He stepped aside, but Ellen, in a show that will be broadcast on Monday, more or less forgave him. And that doesn't necessarily mean that, the entire gay community, because she's not the Pope of gays, has forgiven Kevin Hart. But I actually think this could be interesting because she asked the Academy to reconsider and put him back on duty.
There is no perfect bone in my body. I have made several mistakes, and I embrace them all because I'm a better man today because of them. In this case, I just said I'm going to walk away because I felt like it was a conversation that was just going to continue and continue and continue. I would much rather say I'm sorry again and walk away because I want to be done with the conversation. I don't want to have this conversation anymore because I know who I am. I'm not that guy.
I know you're not that guy because I know you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she's actually called the Academy as a two-time host, and asked them to take him back. Christy, we've talked a lot about how it's all or nothing these days when people react to bad behavior, and most people seem to be losing their jobs. So maybe there is a way back.
Well, maybe. And I like Ellen very much. I think she's an immensely appealing, admirable character. So good for her for doing what she's done. But I laughed when Hart said, I've made several mistakes in my life. Holy smokes, I make several mistakes a minute. What a lucky fellow he is.
Amanda, you work for a company that often turns people's bad times into something better. So is he taking the right route? Is Ellen the right thing?
This is a very classic sort of move, right? You kind of make this rash decision in the middle of a crisis. You sort of take stock and realize I probably could have survived it, or I could have actually made it through. So let me go do a one-on-one sympathetic, heart-rending interview and see if it works out. The one thing I will say that that struck me a little bit is I think in order for this to be successful, he has to be a little bit more humble than what he's being when he
was saying several mistakes.
Yeah. When he was like, I don't want to have this conversation. I just want to walk. I don't want to have this conversation anymore. Like, unfortunately, you said some terrible things. I get that you've apologized. I actually do agree that people can change, especially over the course of a decade. It's not to excuse that kind of behavior, but people have and can change. So, but you need to show some humility, and he lacks some humility from that clip.
Okay. You know what? Another moment that I thought was really interesting, and I think this has wider implications culturally and politically. I mean, I don't want to make too much out of it, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a young legislator who was sworn in yesterday as a Democratic congressperson. And somebody released a video that was shot years ago when she was in university and said, "Here is America's favorite commie know-it-all acting like the clueless nitwit she is." And Yvonne, I'll start with you on this one. What's fascinating is people looked at her dancing and said, "She's fantastic."
Yeah, yeah, and she's in high school and she's having fun. I think that this is it's interesting. She's a very polarizing figure. She's very left of center, particularly in the U.S. political spectrum. So that's one thing. She's 29, so I think she's the youngest woman ever elected to Congress in the U.S. But what's also interesting is, and I follow her social media, she's very active and she's very opinionated on a range of issues. And I personally think that some of her opinions are thoughtful and some of her opinions are maybe less thought out. And I think that that hits people. I think that affects people in a very negative way, where they think that she's quick to judgment and doesn't have as much to offer, and she's young. And the fact that she's young compounds that. So I think that this is interesting how people are trying to find ways to go after her. And I think this will continue because she is so polarizing.
Yeah, Bill, what I found fascinating in this is they thought it would make her look silly and inconsequential. And people looked at it, said, "Hey, look, a young person having a good time." The reason I find this to be an interesting political cultural moment is because I think everybody's going to have embarrassing video of one form or another when they get into politics. We've kind of reached the point, for example, we were at 10, 15 years ago where you just thought everyone was lying if they said they'd never smoked pot.
Yeah. Well, I think in this case, I watched the video. I thought it was kind of fun. And I think it's backfiring because what I think the right is trying to do, and when I say the right, I mean the Twittersphere or whatever it might be, who are trying to pin blame on lefties. She is the most left, so far anyways, that we can see of the new Congress people. And she engages all the time. They want to point that out. They want to make her the villain. And in this particular case, I think it backfires.
We got to call it there. Thank you all very much.
Catch the round table. Round one at 7:45. Round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. In-depth radio. News Talk 1010.